Alrighty. Welcome, people of Earth, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
And if you're not on Earth, you're not allowed to listen.
You can still give us a listen, but nope. I just didn't know you existed.
We restrict people.
What if like there's
anybody
like
in
someone
the space station?
Yeah, they're just like,
oh. Not allowed. You gotta land. I'm sorry, get out of there.
They like want to know more about minor threats.
You know? Like, I can't, there's no comic shops up here.
Yeah.
Well, you're not allowed. Okay. Yeah. Unless you're watching the YouTube video and you subscribe, then you can. Also, if you're on Earth, you could also subscribe if you'd like. That would be cool. We never do this in the beginning.
Yeah.
But no aliens. We discriminate here.
If you've listened to one of our episodes for at least an hour, please give us 5 stars on Spotify.
Is that the metric?
Yeah. You can't just steal someone's phone, go to our page and give us 5 stars.
So what you do is you steal your friend's phone, play the podcast, mute their phone,
right,
and then come back in an hour, reverse pickpocket them. They would never even know.
Yeah.
If you could do that.
What you're stealing is 5 stars.
Yes, exactly.
They probably like never like even listened to like a podcast episode.
They're like, why do I have Acast downloaded?
Why did I get a notification that the new Trade Wars episode's out?
Yeah. Did I hit the bell icon?
Yeah.
Anyway, I am super caffeinated right now.
Hell yeah.
Double the amount of cold brews I normally have because my generous girlfriend got me one, but I had already gotten one for myself.
What if she listens to this episode?
She can know.
Okay.
It's fine. She can.
It'll be like 2 weeks by the time it comes out.
Yeah, it'll be 2 weeks. She'll be like, I don't even know when. Because she gets me coffee quite a bit, which is nice.
Yeah.
If she has to go somewhere and I'm stuck at work. But yeah, just this one time I got it by myself. And then she came home and she had coffee. And I was like, shit. And so I hid it somewhere. So that I could, and then I acted all surprised when she came in. I was like, no way, coffee. And
yeah.
So
I'll take like 4 hours to drink a nice coffee. For some reason, I just sip slowly.
Dude, I did this time for sure.
Yeah.
Because I was already like 3/4 of the way through a coffee.
Like Sarah went to like the Renaissance Fair Festival. Mm-hmm. And I went and got my hair cut. I got a coffee, went to the comic shop, then came home. And then she was there. And I'm like, this coffee's like 2 hours old. Like, I'm not just getting coffee on the way home without you, you know?
Wow.
I know. She's very upset. I'm like, I swear to God, there's no ice. It's melted. Like,
yeah. But that's the trick. You order with no ice. So in case she comes back, you could.
warm coffee. Love it.
Yep.
Well, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Minor Threats. We got Back Matter Matters and the poll list. But we start with the news. And we got hella news, don't we, Nathan?
So many newses.
Like too much news.
Free Comic Book Day, May 4th. We knew that, didn't we, though? Right?
May what?
No? Did we know that Free Comic Book Day was May the 4th?
No. It's normally like May 25th or something.
Okay.
It's on the 4th?
It's on the 4th. It's all normally right. The first Saturday of May. Wait.
I thought it was like the last Saturday.
No, yeah. First Saturday of May. And it happens to land on May the 4th. We don't really know what's coming out yet other than like a random X-Men, I think. I think there's probably like a Spider-Man Venom coming out. We probably heard a little bit about it and talked about it here.
I think there's like TMNT.
That'd be cool.
Thing.
Did that new TMNT come out today?
150 came out today.
So that's the end?
That's the end of Sophie Campbell's run.
Sophie Campbell's run.
And it has that like Jesse Lonergan like wraparound cover.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah. And so I don't know when the new one starts, but I think it's July or June maybe.
Okay. I didn't see that today, but that's okay.
Nathan, Kieran Gillen and Stephanie Hans have a new Image original graphic novel.
Do we know Stephanie Hans?
I don't know.
Okay.
Coming in November, it's called We Call Them Giants.
Oh, I love giant books, dude.
Giant books are so sick. They're the best.
I think.
Give me kaijus all day.
Yeah, just big things.
Crossover with Godzilla,
too. I killed giants. Love that.
Did you read that?
No. I haven't downloaded it, I think, but I never watched it. I've downloaded it like 3 years ago, I think.
To watch?
It's a comic, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's a movie too.
Oh, it is?
It's got Zoe Saldana in it.
Based off the comic?
Yeah.
Whoa. Wait, is it good?
Yeah. The movie or the book?
Either.
I haven't watched the movie, so I don't know. The book's okay. A little overhyped, in my opinion.
It's just because of the giants, I think. People love it.
But anyway, that's cool.
That sounds cool.
I don't think there was even like art for it, so we don't know.
Okay, nice. Other new book, Daniel Jason Aaron, he's getting fucking a million things this year, including Namor. What is it now?
Namor. Namor.
Namor. There you go. Yeah, I was trying to remember what the movie called him, but this July, it's going to be...
July 17th, to be exact.
July 17th. I was getting there. I didn't have that, actually, but Jason Aaron, Paul Davidson, and Alex Lins. That's going to be an 8-issue epic that will forever reshape the seas and bear the dark history of Atlantis. So that's pretty cool. I like Jason Aaron. There hasn't really been a Namor series in a while, I feel like.
I remember like a Namor one shot, or I'm going to say Namor. Namor one shot. Namor, like, yeah. I think Chip Zdarsky did it.
Chip was on it. It's pretty cool.
And then it had a Scotty Young cover, and I bought it, and I haven't read it.
Yeah, we're getting to it.
Yeah. But Nathan.
Yeah.
You love a good crossover?
Uh-huh.
You're going to love Aliens versus Avengers.
Whoa, really?
By Jonathan Hickman.
Oh, I did see this. Yeah.
And Assad Ribic.
Yeah, isn't that fucking insane?
I'm obsessed. I can't wait.
Yeah, dude. Like, I think Hickman's a big alien fan.
Like, of course.
Like, that is an insane suit. That's like the team behind, like, Secret Wars, like the sequel one.
Yeah.
Which is fucking cool. Assad Ribic did, like, the insane... Thor run with Jason Aaron and tons of other stuff.
Yeah.
God, that's such a cool team. And I think it makes sense in my head. And the only connection is like when Jonathan Hickman, I think he made the Black Order, but those like fucking alien things that were in the Infinity War movie.
Uh-huh.
Those look like xenomorphs. So I think he's just like a big fan of Alien. And that's like the connection I made in my head. And that's what I theorized. But I think this will be fucking cool.
Who do you think is going to have a baby alien rip through their chest?
Dude, if that happens,
it's gotta be a throwaway character, probably.
It's gotta be Hawkeye.
I was just thinking Hawkeye.
No, I think he'd be like really good at it. But my question is like
an alien mother?
If a xenomorph has a baby with a person and they have superpowers, does that xenomorph have superpowers? Like if Magneto
that'd be crazy, dude.
Magneto,
are they about to do this shit?
Dude, if they do and xenomorphs have superpowers, that'd be kind of fucking cool.
It's like Iron Man and it comes out with armor.
Well, like that's not how that works. That's a bad example. But if like Magneto gets his shit busted.
Dude, a Hulk alien, dude.
Like a Hulk alien, dude. That's actually what it's going to be.
That's terrifying.
It'll take longer.
I don't actually think anyone's going to get one in their chest, but like.
No, I think all of them are going to get, not all of them. But I think there will be people that get.
If we thought of it, Jonathan Hickman has already thought of it and threw it away immediately because he's going to come up with something smarter.
Or he thought of it like 100 times and he's like, I'm going to make this confusing, but kind of cool at the same time.
How does this baby alien have armor?
How do I get this baby alien to get armor?
That comes July 24th.
Nice. Another shocking graphic novel that's going to be released. This is kind of hot news at the time of recording. Post Malone and Michael Bay are creating a new IP universe about an 18-wheeler from heaven that fights zombies in medieval Europe. How's that sound?
Sounds like a dartboard team and idea.
It's a, yeah, dartboard team, dartboard idea for
what,
sure.
Is it like a fake Transformers kind of thing?
Dude, I don't know. But like what confuses me is that it's in medieval Europe. So why is there an 18-wheeler? But
how do they know each other?
This is from Newsarama. But musician Post Malone and filmmaker Michael Bay are pairing their talents for a new IP universe, which will launch with an as yet unnamed graphic novel from Vault Comics. So
can we write Post Malone to our celebrity writer?
Dude, I know.
Category.
We got to get him on. So it just sounds crazy. Fictionalized version of medieval Europe. The only thing standing in the way of a horde of zombies so massive it could engulf the entire continent is an 18-wheeler truck sent from heaven. Like that sounds like an ad lib or a Mad Lib.
Yeah, dude.
Like literally. But you know, if Michael Bay wants to get behind it and Posty does, I don't know. That's kind of cool.
All right. Well,
so we'll see.
Nathan, you like Space Ghost?
Yeah.
Well, Dynamite's coming out with a new Space Ghost book coming out May 1st, so it should be out by the time this episode comes out.
That's cool. I randomly saw that the YouTube channel for Adult Swim was like streaming Space Ghost, and I just like had it on
cool
for like a little bit. And I was like, this is a weird show.
Yeah, David Papozzi and Jonathan Yao are
let's go. Love those guys.
Creative team.
Okay, nice. You know Public Domain?
Yeah.
Come it's back. Getting a spin-off series called The Domain, kicking off its first issue July 10th.
Oh,
it'll
cool.
be written by Chip Zdarsky with art by Rachel Stott. And it's going to be an in-universe comic book at the center of the public domain series and will launch from Image Comics.
And so is it about like the character, the domain?
I think it'll be about the character. So
okay.
The quote from Chip is, when I realized that my characters from public domain would be creating a new superhero comic, I just knew I had to actually make that comic. And it was an opportunity to create a fun classic superhero comic while also enhancing the narrative of public domain and those characters' journeys.
Sweet.
So that's kind of cool. It'll be
very cool.
A comic within a comic book universe.
But in our universe. Whoa.
Yeah.
Love it.
So we'll see what that's like. But
great idea.
Love public domain. Haven't finished it yet.
Same. Nathan, we got a trailer for Transformers 1.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Coming in September.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It's a bit weird, huh?
A little weird. But
it's definitely a kid's movie.
I'm glad it's a thing, though.
I am, too. Yeah. I think they're probably, like, taking a bit of a risk. Actually, not really.
I think, like, it's funny when Chris Hemsworth does, like, a Optimus Prime voice.
I just thought it was weird that Brian Tyree Henry was in there. There was a crazy cast tied to this, which I think they're trying to use to get like adults in, but it looks like just a kick-ass kids movie.
Brian Tyree Henry did good. I think he sounded convincing. Like, he didn't just sound like him, you know?
No, I agree, but I was just like, I feel like I see him mostly serious stuff, but then I remember that he was in like Godzilla X Kong and like Eternals or whatever. So
that's serious.
It is pretty serious. I don't know. But he's a good actor, so I like him.
Yeah, he's getting the bag, Nathan.
He is.
And so, probably the easiest bag.
Probably, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, do you think you're going to watch it in theaters? Or?
Yeah.
I'll probably wait for, like, streaming.
Really?
Yeah.
What if I invite you to go? Will you go with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it could be fun.
It could be. I don't know. But it's, like, set on Transformers planet, right? It's not, like, here.
Cybertron?
Yes, that one.
See, that's cool.
Is that what it is? Is that where it's set? I couldn't even really tell.
Probably.
Why do they look like cars already? I guess I gotta watch the movie.
I don't know. What'd you say to me?
Oh my god, I think there's a massive plot hole.
Yeah, where did they get, why do they,
I think they get always cars? I think they always look like that for some reason. In Michael Bay movie, they like came and then scanned a car, because that makes sense. Or at least more sense.
That makes sense. Yeah, they were like these blank, like things.
Weird.
They're like naked.
Yeah, they were like super naked, and then they put on car clothes.
Yeah. Nathan.
Yes.
Do you like all the Venom symbiotes that there are?
Like Toxin and Carnage.
Yeah.
And Anti-Venom.
Mm-hmm. Do you like them?
Yeah. They're fine.
Well, too bad, because Venom War is coming, Nathan.
Oh, no.
August 7th. It's a 5-issue miniseries with Al Ewing and Ebon Coelho.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. And I think all the Venoms are fighting each other.
Let's go.
But like to the death.
That's awesome.
And so that's neat.
So is it just Civil War but Venom?
Yeah. Venom War.
Venom War. Wow. That's how they got the name. So Venom War.
That's a better name.
That sounds so stupid, but I'll probably pick it up. I like Ebon Coelho. He's really good at Venom. He was on Venom as a fill-in artist during the Donnie Cates run, and I was like, this guy fucking rules.
Oh, yeah, that was the bit just before Absolute Carnage, I think, right?
Yes, because I think Stegman was doing like a triple size issue, first issue.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, so good stuff.
That's neat. Nathan, you miss Saga?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all caught up and you're just waiting for...
Nah, I can't wait. I'm foaming at the mouth for more.
Well, don't worry. Saga number 67 is coming in July.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very soon.
Yep. They're back from their second hiatus.
Yeah.
This is like their third or fourth at this point, I think.
But I think they just do it every arc now.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
I like the idea of like comics having seasons.
Yeah, it gives me a break and I get to catch up.
Gives me a break and I don't have to give up on it entirely. And also they could just do other things if they want.
Rather than drowning in 20 issues of shit.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Nathan, you like an omnibus?
I like a good omnibus.
Did you like the Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips book, Fatale?
Never read it.
Well, it's getting an omnibus, so you can catch up and read it all.
So I can read it all. How long is it?
July 17th is coming. It's 24 issues, Nathan.
Really?
About 800 pages.
Really?
Does that
math add up? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, because like five would be like 100 and then like times.
Is it good? Have you read it?
I read the first trade, I think, and I didn't get it.
It's like about...
But I read that like very early.
Yeah, I think I did too.
In my comics career. I didn't get it.
Maybe. I think you need to like read like four of their stuff, like four other books of theirs, and then maybe read that one.
Right.
I think it's like about like Hollywood or something, and then...
Nathan, 800 pages, 24 issues for $60.
That's a good deal.
Pretty good deal, I think.
Yeah, 800 pages.
So,
yeah. I like that. Good for them.
Did you watch the Deadpool trailer?
I tried not to.
Okay, you're like anti-trailer?
I'm like anti-trailer now. I think I did watch this one in its entirety because it's technically the first trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I did watch it. I tried not to, and then I was like, this is technically the first trailer, so I'll watch it.
You like see him in the suit.
You see him in the suit. You see the Ant-Man thing. You see the Doctor Strange portal.
Dude. Yeah.
And Liefeld's
feet. Thought he wore sleeves like for the shooting, but he was like sleeveless for part of it. Wolverine.
Yeah.
And he looks huge.
He's very big.
And I'm like, is he really that huge or they CGI arms?
No, he's really that big. He's been training again.
I thought he had like sleeves on because like he... Like,
for the movie?
For filming.
Oh. Because we saw those behind the scenes or whatever?
Yeah, because you're outside. And he has like a skin cancer thing. You know, so he's very susceptible for that. So
I think he's over that now, but
he's over it. He's like,
I don't want
to. He's like, fuck it.
He's rich. I mean, I think he's fine.
Maybe, yeah. And so I don't know. I'm like, are these fake arms?
Yeah,
so,
he's ginormous. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it looks really good.
I love it.
Yeah,
big fan.
I worry it'll be like a little bit too much. So I'm like cautiously optimistic, but I think they know it's too much and what they can fuck around with. So
I think it'd be just enough. Maybe.
I'm excited. Do you think so? They make it seem like old man Logan stuff or like just the Logan movie that still happened and he's catching him at like a different point in time. So, mm-hmm. Which I guess makes sense. He doesn't even look old.
Like a later time, I guess.
Yeah. So,
do you remember Cassandra Nova?
Was she the new X-Men villain?
Yeah,
Grant Morrison.
She was like, Professor X's sister or something.
Yeah, and but she can also control minds,
something like that.
I was trying to remember what her power
I think
was.
She put her mind in Mr. Xavier.
Oh yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, at least at the end of the first trade.
So I think that's who the villain.
Check
is.
Out the new X-Men episode. We don't remember, but I'm sure it's a good time.
It was before this episode.
Yes.
So I think that's a cool villain because it will be like she seems scary. I don't know much about her.
I think they'll do something cool there. Yeah,
because I don't know what else you do.
Yeah, what other villain?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Deadpool villain?
There, I feel like there's none.
Yeah,
no
he's
good
just,
ones.
He's just fucking around.
It's just like Bob from Hydra or whatever his name is.
Yeah, but anyway,
Nathan, did you see the Liefeld's feet thing?
Yep, prayer. I think that could have been funnier, but
I think so too. But at least they put it in. But nobody knows what that means.
Yeah, just the
people that know comics, I guess. But
yeah, so it's for us.
Yeah,
we get that they took a shot at him.
They're doing it for us.
But I don't know if it was like.
I think he's cool with it. I think he commented on it or something, and he's like,
"Yeah." He's like a part of it now.
Yeah,
which means it's not fun anymore.
Yeah, kind of.
I like a part of me thinking that he's like, every time. You know?
Like viciously trying to deny it. He's like, no, I'm fine with feet. They're fine.
Yeah. I want him to slave away to work on all the feet, you know, all different shoes. But anyway, Nathan, let's get into the book this week. We read Minor Threats.
Yes, we did.
By one Patton Oswalt.
And Jordan Blum.
And Jordan Blum.
He's like a movie guy, isn't he?
Yeah. He's like the showrunner for like MODOK and he like produces a lot of stuff.
Oh, okay, cool.
I think he was a writer on like Community or something.
Nice.
He's a writer on something that went a long time. Scott Hepburn on art. Ian Herring, he did something.
Colors. And Nate Picos on letters.
Do they have Nate Picos on the cover? Hold on. They sure do. Look
at them.
So what'd you think, Nathan?
I thought this was pretty good. I think I think it's kind of condensed for four issues, I think it is.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of dialogue, so it's kind of hard to read if you're like about to go to bed because you'll just kind of like fall asleep, I think.
Oh, sorry. Jordan Blum is a writer for American Dad.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But no, I think it's good. Like, I really like the sort of the universe that they've created. It's, you know, I mean, it's just like a sort of like a parody, like superhero universe. But I think where they really nail it is like, it's just these like low level villains and like showing how difficult it would be if one actually is trying to reform and like live a normal life. What that kind of struggle would be like systemically. Mm-hmm. And I think that they really nailed like that aspect of it in the first issue, and then they kind of abandoned it altogether. But
right.
But yeah, I think this is good. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was fun. I don't remember the first issue at all. I remember reading it, but mm-hmm. I don't remember it at all.
Yeah.
I guess this came out like the first issue came out like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's fairly recent.
I was like, geez, I don't know. 2 years ago seems like very long ago in comics time.
Oh, you
know?
Really? Okay.
Well, as far as like what I bought,
I think they've had spin-off stuff.
Yeah, there's another like main title Minor Threats book, and then there's the alternates or something. Yeah,
there's something from like the world of Minor Threats or something.
Yeah, that's a spin-off thing.
So I think they were like trying to grab people's attention with this.
Dude wants to be Black Hammer so bad.
Dude, I know. Well, he wrote a Black Hammer thing, and
Patton
Oswalt, and he was like, this shit's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, it was fun. I think they have like a good sense of like what makes comics kind of fun, you know? So, and there's like, I think pretty good parodies of like mainstream superheroes that they like have fun with.
Yeah.
Scott Hepburn does a great job though.
The art's incredible.
It is like definitely a big carrier for this. Like if it was anything less, I would be less interested for sure.
Yeah.
Like just killer designs for a lot of these. Some of them original, some of them you could tell that they're like, you know, parodies or homages of like certain superheroes, but like done in a tasteful way, I would say.
Yeah.
And he's just good at what he does. So
yeah, I think I just like his style. And then there's like throwback pages where it's like flashbacks and stuff, which are cool. It has like the yellowing.
Yeah, the colors for those are pretty cool because it's like flatted, like to make it look more golden age. But I feel like the art in those kind of stays relatively the same, and they're kind of just reliant on colors to do that. And I always like when they try and
pull good job, back. Color guy.
Yeah, the Ian Herring. Yeah, Ian does a good job of that. But I wish that Scott Hepburn would have pulled it back a little bit, made it a little bit more simple in those pages.
Sure,
that's the only thing. But you know, other than that, super good.
The issues definitely were dense, but then I remember thinking like, I mean, it seems like because each issue is $5, so it's definitely $5 with a comic in there. For I felt sure. like,
yeah,
I guess like. Comparatively to other books.
Mm-hmm.
So get your bang for your buck.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the trade of four issues is $20. So it's just adding all those up.
Yeah. And I think with like with four issues and you're trying to like do a team book, they kind of have to be a little bit dense because you're trying to figure out things about everybody and like find out what makes them interesting.
Do you think this would be better if it was five issues?
Probably. If it was less dense, like same amount of information, maybe.
Five issues, $4 issues.
But like kind of like same amount of information, but a little bit more breathing room for some of the character development stuff.
Yeah.
Because once it gets going, it just feels like it goes and goes and goes.
I think the last issue could have benefited from like a couple more pages.
For sure.
To let that breathe as well, because it felt like it wrapped up pretty quickly.
Yeah, there's definitely like a couple parts in the last issue.
And this isn't just like the first trade of this run. This is just the run, you know?
Yeah.
Like it does that Dark Horse thing where they will have a bunch of different little miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than like an ongoing thing. They don't like ongoing for some reason.
Maybe just too risky.
Yeah. They're like, no one buys number fives.
I guess.
Number one again.
Yeah, it's kind of true.
Spinoffs. All the spinoffs.
And then they'll just like reprint some.
Substack.
Yeah. They'll release like a four issue like original series and then they'll just reprint Substack shit. So
yeah. Anyway. Not a bad business model.
Yeah. Seems to be working.
No development costs.
Let's get into it though. Issue one. So Frankie is like the main character. She's a former villain named Playtime that has decided to stop being a villain and is now stuck bartending at a bar that serves other low-level villains because it's the only job she could find.
Love a supervillain bar.
I do love that. I like this one in particular because they've decorated it like that. Like it just looks like a dive bar, but it has like people's masks and shit like nailed on on the side.
As if they're like dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
That are signed.
That's cool. They're like pretty fun looking masks too, but...
There's Spider-Man just in the middle there.
It really does look like Spider-Man, doesn't it?
I think it is actually Spider-Man. Spider-Man was a villain and he was killed or something.
And so some of the villains that go here include Brain Tease, who's like an evil genius, kind of like a Riddler type. Scalpel, who's like a mob doctor. Pigeon Pete, who's like a Golden Age villain that like used to like run the whole thing or whatever. And then Snake Stalker, who's like a big brutish snake guy. And but Snake Stalker,
we'll think about him.
What's up?
I'm kind of a sucker for like when someone's face is just in the mouth of like their mask. You know?
I feel like only snake people are like that.
There's snake people,
Invincible snake people, Marvel snake people.
What like, about like Rhino? He's kind of like that.
I got kind of like that. Yeah.
Or like Manape. I think Manape's like that.
Oh yeah.
So there's a couple examples. It's not just snake guys.
I feel like it's mainly snake people have the monopoly.
Primarily snake guys.
So when I saw this, I'm like, this is just another snake guy.
I'm sure there's like a Black Panther-esque person that's like that too.
Probably. But yeah.
It looks so dumb and campy, but I love it.
I do love it. Yeah, it is kind of fun.
It would, if you like were to if anyone would cosplay as this, it'd be like the funniest cosplay for sure.
As any snake person?
As any character with their face
like in a snake mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Snake Stalker brings in a villain who's beaten almost to death by the superhero Insomniac, who's now going on a rampage because his teenage sidekick, Kid Dusk, was killed. And I like this like overhead page.
Great page.
Which is so cool because it's an overhead of the dude that's like super beat up, but then like around all the injuries are like the context panels of like how he got the injury.
Dude, his leg.
It's so cool. Yeah, his leg's all fucked. Oh god, yeah. And just seeing like how it was inflicted.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So good page. I like the mob doctor as well. Just like that archetype, I think, is always pretty fun.
Yeah.
Just like a doctor that like patches up villains or whatever.
Yeah. They kind of set her up as like this greater than thou kind of character to where like she wouldn't be really involved in the story at all, mm-hmm. but maybe would like come back later at some redeeming moment.
Yeah.
But she's kind of there the whole way.
Yeah. She's just part of the team.
So Playtime has this, I thought she could make like toys come alive or something, but no, she can just make
good toys. She's really good at disguising weapons as toys.
Something like that. Yeah.
I think she's kind of like a tinkerer, but like with a twist. Or like,
yeah,
you know, somebody that like makes little doohickeys and gadgets.
Yeah. And then she just puts a theme on it.
Yeah.
You know, she's got a brand,
which is cool. Yeah. It's good branding, I would say.
Yeah.
Shortly after treating this dude, the Searcher, who is the leader of the superhero team, the Continuum, are searching everywhere for the Stick Man, who's like the villain that killed Kid Dusk.
So Kid Dusk is like
Robin.
The Robin.
Yeah.
And the Searcher is like Insomniac is like Batman.
Yeah.
The Searcher is pretty much like Superman.
The Continuum is like their Avengers. It's kind of hard. That's kind of what is hard about things like this is like you have to establish like, okay, this is like the Avengers or like this is like the Batman. And it's kind of hard to like keep track of it at first. But
I think it was not too
this
hard.
This one makes it easy because they focus it on like really just the Insomniac, which is the Batman guy.
Yeah. So with like Patton Oswalt like being in movies and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
I heard him talk about this book on like a podcast and he's talking to like a actor.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, it's basically just like storyboarding, you know, like comics that could eventually be like IP.
Sure.
And so I feel like when he was like making this and maybe helping with like concept designs, he had like actors in mind, mm-hmm. of who they'd be. And I feel like the Searcher is definitely the lady who plays like Brienne of Tarth.
You'd think so?
Yeah. She's a big blonde woman.
She...
AKA...
I feel like Brienne of Tarth face is a little bit rounder.
Well, yeah. I don't think any woman's actually going to look like this.
Yeah, for sure.
Just put like some padded superhero getup on her.
She would be a good The Searcher, I guess.
What is her name? Gwendolyn something?
I just finished season 5 of Game of Thrones. That was a stinker season. Let me tell you.
Season 5? Why?
Because it's just like a lot of fucking around. And like the whole time, spoilers, I guess. But I'm watching it for the first time. And it's like the season where Stannis Baratheon dies. Gwendolyn Christie.
That's close. It's when Stannis dies?
It's when Stannis Baratheon like kills his daughter.
Yeah.
And then it just like doesn't work to like the sacrifice like doesn't work. And like he's been like marching that whole season. He goes to march on Winterfell or whatever. There's a whole battle that dies or that's about to like start. And then they cut away directly to the end. And I'm like, wow, I'm glad I watched this dude fuck around for a whole season just to not see the fight where he dies. It's crazy.
Who's he getting killed by?
He gets killed officially by Brianna Tarth, but we don't even see that. She like shows up and she's like, well, I'm lucky you didn't die in that huge battle that you were in the front lines of.
Because he killed...
He killed Renly.
Baratheon, yeah.
Renly Baratheon. Right. His son?
Brother.
Brother. Okay.
Because he's also...
Because he was gay. No?
No, because like he was like... Also trying to get to throne.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why he killed him.
I don't think he killed his brother because he was gay.
It seems like it.
Because Robert died, and so it was basically going to go to like one of them, mm-hmm. they thought.
I just thought the whole season bullshit. And then John died.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm like, what the fuck? I don't like anybody else.
You know, I never really liked John.
No?
Yeah, everyone was like the hype around him.
I don't think, it did seem like people were really hype about Jon Snow, but I was like, he's fine. I like him though.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, he's fine.
I like the dude.
He's kind of a little bitch.
Takes risks.
Yeah.
But anyway. Let's get back to this.
Gwendolyn Christie, definitely going to be the searcher.
Okay, yeah.
If this ever becomes a thing.
In the Minor Threats movie.
Yeah. Or Netflix TV series.
It's more likely. Yeah. Or the Hulu original. He's got the connections there.
He's also in Sandman, so...
That's true.
Yeah, when he goes to work for season two.
Yeah, but he wasn't the front runner of that show. He was for MODOK, the most popular TV show of that year, probably.
I can't believe I finished Hitmonkey, but not MODOK, you know, as far as...
I finished MODOK, it was fine.
Hulu Marvel series.
The only thing I remember about MODOK is that they would just reference Incubus, like, a lot. And I thought that was funny.
Isn't there like a episode where they go to like an Incubus concert or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, no, that was Third Eye Blind.
Yeah, sorry, Third Eye Blind. Yeah, see, I don't even remember.
So they reference Third Eye Blind a lot.
No, they reference Third Eye Blind a lot.
Oh, okay.
And I just remember him being really sad, and he was sadly singing the lyrics to one of their songs, and I thought that part was funny. So anyway, the Searcher, they're trying to find the Stick Man, who's like the Joker to Insomniac's Batman. Then there's like a flashback showing Frankie, the main character, and like the hard life of like a reformed villain trying to find work
real quick
to keep custody of her daughter.
I love a prison shot, you know, where it shows like all the supervillains, mm-hmm. and people that look all weird.
There's some fucked up looking people here.
Yeah. It's just this bitch in the front.
Yeah.
With the apple.
Yep.
Gross. She looks
terrible. There's a person with four heads.
Yeah.
There's always like a frog one, you know,
or like a chrome guy.
A chrome guy, you gotta have a chrome guy. Well, if you're just like trying to fill shit up in the background, you know, you gotta put a frog guy. Oh, yeah,
the frog guy.
There's a frog guy, I saw him immediately.
There's like a big ass gorilla in the back.
Oh, yeah, I know. Where are you putting him? Her.
Yeah. Anyway.
I want a spinoff of this prison.
Yeah, that's all I want.
Yeah, that would be super cool.
Because like, whenever I think of like prisons, you think of like Guardians of the Galaxy, like one.
Yeah.
But there was just like kind of a lot of humans in that.
Yeah.
And maybe they'd have a weird haircut or something. And now they're like, oh, alien, you know? Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a species. And there's like one big blue guy.
Yeah.
But it was like the only one.
This, like, everyone's weird.
Yeah, but it's like, it would also kind of hit that niche of like, they're villains, but they're not like Arkham level villains necessarily. So it'd just be like,
yeah,
you know, kind of interesting to see what like low level villain prison kind of looks like.
Sure.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's boring. That's why it hasn't happened. But so yeah, there's a scene of her trying to like, get work, but everyone's not giving her work because she used to be a villain or whatever, and so that's how she ends up getting the job at the bar. In the present, Frankie tries to see her daughter but is pulled away by superheroes that are trying to find the Stick Man, and they think that she would know something. And so
I like the aspect of this is that like the daughter's like traumatized by like her mom being like beat up so much.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, and this one doesn't help because she gets swooped up by like is it the Searcher?
No, it's a different superhero.
Is it like a speedy character of some sort?
No, I think it was just like a Captain Marvel-esque character.
Oh, yeah. She's like a knockoff Adam Eve or whatever.
Yeah, with the cape. It feels like it.
And yeah, so like that kind of like jump scare thing could
like really be
pretty upsetting for a child.
So it makes sense that like the dad is like, you need to get away.
Yeah.
And then he says a line that's insane where he's like, do your... Fuck, hold on, let me find it. He says... Why don't you give your daughter the gift your mother never gave you? And it's like, get out of her life. And I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Because Frankie's mom was a villain. And that's why she was a villain initially, because her mom put that on her. Which is also like, this is believable that she like inevitably would fall into this sort of life
Yeah.
Without really it being her choice. And so if she does want to become reformed, she's now systemically stuck, you know, from like a second chance at life. And I think that's what they really nailed at like this part of the series.
Yeah. Her mom isn't like one of those like moms that has like a big shelf with like a bunch of china and stuff that she would never use. She has like her old gadgets from when she was Playtime One or whatever.
I think she had a different name. I can't remember, Bo. It was like Toy Lady or some shit. But but yeah, I like that aspect too. And it's all like golden age feeling gadgets.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Oh, and she's missing her Jack in the Box gun.
Yeah. They mentioned that for a second. And then...
Oh, wait, hold on. So we were talking about like her powers or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And she can like control like a sock monkey. So it's not... She didn't build the sock monkey, right?
I don't know. I don't really know what her powers are specifically, but you're saying if it is a toy, she can control it?
That's what I thought it was.
Okay, because in my head, there's a scene where she like throws
Jack in the Box gun.
No. It's like the pickup. What the fuck is it? It's like a little ball you bounce and you try and pick up the jacks.
Oh, pick up sticks.
Nope, just sticks. But it's that. It's like the jacks and the ball, and she throws it at people, and they were actually bombs.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
I don't know what that is. I think it's just Jax, isn't it?
It's probably just Jax.
Okay,
but that made me think like, oh, she's just disguising weapons as toys for like branding, I guess. So it could be. But so Frankie realizes that any sense of normalcy won't happen until the Stick Man is found, and so Frankie decides to gather her D-list villain friends and go on the hunt for the Stick Man to kill him themselves. And that's that first issue. Pretty good. Again, pretty dope designs from them. But even just like looking at this last page, there's like a teddy bear that like seems to come to life.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know how she gets that power. But issue two.
She has like a purse that looks like a Rubik's Cube.
I do like that aspect of the design.
I thought there was going to be something with that. I don't know. I don't know what it would be, but I guess it just adds to the look.
She has like an NES belt buckle. Like a Nintendo NES belt buckle, which is kind of cool. I think she has a good design.
She controls video games, too.
Yeah.
I think I like Brain Tease the best.
I don't.
Because
he looks like a dude I know. Just like a dude that kind of has like a little bit of a beer gut.
He looks like Chip Zdarsky.
Dude, he kind of does.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, does Chip know Patton? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe but, Chip would be casted in the movie or Netflix show.
He would fit that, I feel like. Yeah. He's kind of like a goofy, super genius
That's
guy.
That's like his voice is what I put like on him when he was talking, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
But anyway.
Issue two. So the villains go to Brain Tease's apartment, who's able to put together, just from context clues of everyone's interactions with the Stick Man, that he's at a place called the Trophy Room Nightclub across town. But to get across town... with the superheroes of the continuum like flying around, they need to go under the radar, so they just like take a bus like normal ass people,
which I think is funny.
I think that was funny too. They're like, how do we get there? And they just like take a bus,
because the continuum, they're looking at rooftops, you know. Yeah. they're looking for people that, because they're also trying to like keep the streets safe so the Insomniac doesn't fucking kill anyone else.
Yeah.
And make them look bad,
because he's going on a rampage just killing people trying to figure out where the Stick Man is.
Yeah.
So I like these panels where like Brain Tease is like locking in to like figure out where the Stick Man is.
Yeah.
Because we see like sort of like the outlines of everything that are like happening.
Yeah.
And that's neat. I like that.
In between issues, we get like a recap page, which I think is funny. But it's mostly because there's a map on that page.
Yeah.
And the map gets like updated because they're like, it just says, where is Stick Man? And so it's like all the places that they're looking.
I think this is part of Pigeon Pete's power or like his specialty.
Well, because the only thing that seemed to...
I don't really know what he does.
The only thing that was helpful is that he calls his pigeons his babies. And his babies were on, like, you know, on the rooftops, and they can see that the continuum's like staking him out.
Can he like see through their eyes or something?
I think he can listen to them.
Oh, that's nice.
So the pigeon, he's like Aquaman in a way.
Yeah.
But I don't think he can control them.
Okay, fair enough.
Because he really doesn't come through at all.
No, he doesn't do anything like super helpful most of the time. He finds an escape route one time, but that's it.
Right.
So also like the perspective of like the dialogue captions are now Brain Teases. It's not Frankie or like Playtime playtimes anymore.
Okay.
And I think that helps for us to get to know these characters like a little bit more without it taking up like actual panel space. Mm-hmm. Cause it's just like brain tease talking about things and how he thinks and how his dad beat him or whatever. So I think it is a little bit more effective to like help us get to know these team members without some sort of like flashback thing.
Yeah. So I guess brain tease got his powers because his dad, did his dad beat him?
I think
so
he's
much
just
that
smart.
Knocked something loose.
I think he's just smart. I don't think he has like necessarily a power, cause you don't need a power to be like a villain necessarily, but he really prides himself on being like a super smart dude.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any origin of his like powers, but his dad did beat the fuck out of him.
Nathan, you know what the coolest design is in this book?
U.S. Eagle?
Yes.
100%.
So sick.
I was like, this is unironically so good.
I'm like, who's that guy?
Just give me more of him.
I'm like, bring
him
back.
He's got stars on his knees.
So dope.
He's got an American flag belt buckle thing. Look how big those pouches are.
And he's got leather.
Leather boots. Leather gloves.
Leather belt.
Leather face, dude.
Yeah.
So good.
Because you don't know his name until, like, you know, the end.
You don't know it until back matter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this guy the designs fucking and rules. And they only use him twice.
U.S. Eagle fucks so hard.
I know. I need more of him. If one of the spinoff series has this guy, I would get it just for this
1000%.
Design. So
can't wait.
Yeah. I'm glad we had the same thought. It just looks so like Liefeld or something, or like something about it feels so like 90s, but it's kind of cool at the same time.
He kind of just looks like an American version of Space Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like the cowl, you know?
Yeah. He's supposed to fill probably that like Captain America role, but he's kind of a dick.
Oh, yeah, 1000%.
So they get to the nightclub and they're rejected access for not having enough clout. And so the Snake Stalker decides to get them access when he joins the Fight Club competition that they have. And so as the rest of the team is like looking around the nightclub, they realize that the Stick Man set up a trap and he placed Kid Dusk's body there for the Insomniac to find. And he ends up showing up there and he starts fucking everybody up.
Which is dark.
Very dark.
Cause I was like, that's fucked up.
They put him in a...
I didn't realize like... So how did Insomniac know that he was dead?
He just probably saw it.
And then took his body?
And then I guess he took his body. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. Insomniac design, I think pretty solid. It's definitely just like Batman without ears. So it's kind of like a bit on the nose. You know, I think what I would have liked is if he was like the blue and gray version of Batman, maybe. Like same design, but like where it's black, it's like kind of like a super dark blue or something.
Who's the Batman character in like Invincible?
Huh?
There's like a Batman character in Invincible, isn't there?
Darkwing or something?
Yeah.
No, that's Darkwing Duck. That's Duck. It's like Nightwing. No, that's... it's like... I don't know. He hasn't shown up in the show yet, right? Or did he die in the beginning?
I think he died in the beginning.
Did he? He did, yeah.
Hold on.
I think it might be Darkwing.
Oh, it is Darkwing.
Yeah, dude. I'm such a big fucking fan of Invincible and you suck.
Because I think of Darkwing Duck.
Well, that just makes you a fake fan. Because I think of Invincible Batman.
Because, like, Darkwing has, like, a lot of comics that come out for some reason.
He does?
I've been seeing Darkwing Duck comics, like, consistently. Oh, that one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
People love him. I don't know why. People love ducks, dude. You know that?
People fucking love ducks.
It's like Daffy, Darkwing, Donald,
Scrooge.
That one, too. Yeah, it's crazy. Howard.
I think I saw like an omnibus of like Donald Duck comics.
Dude, we should read a Donald Duck comic. I feel like they're good.
I'm down for any like Disney like comic, you know, yeah. Especially those like retro ones.
I want the retro ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw like a video essay on like one of the artists for the Donald Duck comics and they like tried to, they like didn't credit him on those actual comics.
That's
because
fucked.
They didn't want people to know that like anybody other than Will Eisner made these comics, you know? Which
is Will Eisner credited for?
Sorry, not Will Eisner. Walt Disney. Sorry.
Oh,
they wanted to like
that's dumb as
fuck. Hide the fact that Walt Disney wasn't the one making these comics, and so they took out his name. But then ended up being like so popular it like overseas that people were like trying to figure out who did it so they could like thank him. And he never knew how popular he was until he was like 80, and people were like sending him like
that's like Bill Finger, dude.
It is. It's like it's a really
except Bill Finger died and he didn't know.
He yeah, that's true.
He died thinking he never got credit for Batman.
It ends like really nice because people he ends up getting the letters of like people that have been like reaching out and shit. So I'll send it to you. It's really good, actually.
You know, the dude from Serious Issues?
Yeah.
So after like podcast. Serious Issues, yeah, the podcast, he like was super into like manga and got really deep into that. Mm-hmm. And he's currently like super into like Donald Duck comics. Like,
let's go.
He spends, like, all his, he spends all his money on like Donald Duck
comics. I trust that dude's judgment.
I don't.
But yeah, we should do Donald Duck at some point. Hell and yeah. Darkwing Duck.
I'll write it down.
All the ducks. Dude, Duck Month.
Duck Month.
That would be so good. Donald Duck. Howard the Duck. Darkwing Duck.
Daffy Duck, probably.
Yeah, he's probably got one.
Wait. What was the second thing you said?
Darkwing Duck.
Did you
say Howard the Duck?
Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Let's get into ducks, bro. I don't even remember where I am with
this.
We
can rank our favorite duck in comics.
There's so many. We could do it. Let's see. Oh, one of the design choices that I think is funny is that the stick man has like a calling card thing so that you know it's him that did it. And it's just him sticking post-it notes of stick man people onto things.
Mm.
And I think that's really funny.
It is pretty funny.
Because it's like you have to... Because like Joker has a calling card and he has like the Joker card. That's pretty cool.
Right.
And so like they had to think of something and they're like...
And they stick.
Yeah. And they stick.
Yeah.
So I just think that's...
Two birds.
I think it's silly. And so while the commotion is going on with the Insomniac, he's beating everybody up, Frankie spots Stickman henchmen people that are escaping. So she
they're
chases...
Stick Boys.
The Stick Boys. And so she chases after them to question them on where Stickman is. But then Insomniac shows up on the roof and Frankie is hit with a ricocheted bullet off of the Insomniac suit and she falls off the roof. And we finally see, this is like where we kind of see a little bit more of her powers because she like throws the jacks at like this point. And this is why I think that there's like, they're like rigged to be like explosives because she throws them and then they explode on the Stick Boys.
Right.
So I don't know how that works. She also has a big fist thing with spikes, but, Issue 3?
Have you seen Scott Hepburn on other shit? Hepburn?
I don't think so, but I would like to. He kind of gives me like... what's that one dude's name? Sanford Green vibes a little bit. I think he's like kind of got like a cool retro kind of feel.
I guess he was on Drax with Colin Bunn.
Okay. That was back in the day, right?
2015?
Okay. I think I was thinking of like Annihilation Time.
He did some Deadpool by Scotty Young.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
What was the other one?
I feel like he'd be on like a Hellboy or something for a little bit.
Superman, Man of Tomorrow with Robert Vendetti. So he's been around.
Okay,
with
cool.
Ian Herring. Maybe they're homies.
They got to be homies. I think they're a package deal.
They're collab?
I think
they're dynamic duo.
Yeah, I think so.
Good for him.
What's he doing now?
I'm like, how? This?
Is he still doing Minor Threats?
So he does. He looks like he does the alternates.
Okay.
There's like three fucking writers on alternates, so it's push his name back.
Jesus Christ.
And then Minor Threats, The Fastest Way, which is the current run of that.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's.
All right, cool. I mean, he's still doing stuff. So that's good.
That's what I want out of like.
People I like.
You know. Dark Horse or like any kind of indie book is like when you start with like a guy and then you just like continue with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Super nice.
Yeah, it is cool.
Just because it's like familiar, you know, and I kind of like that consistency,
mm-hmm.
which is something Black Hammer did not do.
Yeah, they switch up every story arc typically, right?
Basically.
Mm-hmm. Who's the first guy?
Dean Ormston.
Yes.
And he was fucking awesome.
And then I think it was Michael Walsh for a little bit, right? Or was that just for the Justice League crossover?
I can't remember. I think just the crossover. Okay. But like the biggest thing with Dean Ormston was like I didn't like it at first because it was just so odd to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then you just kind of learn to love it.
That is 100%.
And yeah, so, and then when you love it, you're just like, no one else can do it this way.
Yeah.
So totally. When I see other people doing it, I'm like, what is this?
It kind of feels like a little bit of a Frank Quitely at first. Cause I feel like at first I didn't really like Frank Quitely's stuff. I was like, everybody just looks mushy and weird.
It's a little upsetting. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the more I've read stuff with him, I'm like, this guy fucking rules.
Yeah.
He's got such a distinct style. Same thing with like Mignola a little bit, but
yeah.
Not as much cause you know that he's trying to do something kind of funky.
Right.
Anyway. Issue 3, So Frankie fell off the roof. She's able to break her fall with like a marshmallow cannon that she has, I guess, which is not really like a toy.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of is.
What? Like a marshmallow
like,
shooter?
Like the marshmallow kind of shooter thing? Things.
Okay. So, all right.
Okay. I can see that.
She made it seem like she had like a marshmallow maker like or something. Sand. Yeah.
And so the villains take Frankie to her mom's house where Scalpel can fix her up. And Scalpel also sees that Snake Stalker has a Stickman minion marking thing. But he claims that he left that life behind when he found someone. I think he's gay. So.
Huh?
Snake Stalker?
So the guy that Snake Stalker brought in.
That was his boyfriend?
Yeah.
Husband?
Yeah. He was in love, Nathan.
That's very sad.
And his boyfriend was killed. Okay. There's like a handful of things that I missed. Didn't bring up on the last one.
Okay, sure. What's up?
Just going to scroll back really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you all the things that I wanted to bring up. So when Playtime is like. So Playtime gets like upset with like Brain Tease for some reason,
mm-hmm.
and like grabs him. But then she's got like little army men on her shoulders,
yeah,
like, to interrogate. Like to
I do like that
interrogate and like intimidate him. Mm-hmm. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Because in my head, those are like little drones or something that she like figured out how to make. And
basically,
but yeah,
or she just took control of army men. I don't know yet.
I think that's more. I think the more we talk about it, I'm like she's just gonna control toys for some reason.
Yeah. So when Snake Stalker was in like the battle royale thing with this like pig guy or whatever. Yeah. He does a suplex on him.
That is cool.
And I think suplexes just make comics better.
Dude, suplexes in comics look so good.
Like,
cause they do the most, like they're always the most exaggerated pose.
They're like bent backwards.
And it's you know? So cool.
I love it.
I agree.
Big fan. If every comic we read from now on had a suplex in it, I'd be happy, man. Could be a bad book. I'm like, oh, the suplex is cool though.
We should just start rating every suplex we see, called the suplex segment or something, and then we give it a rating out of like 1 to 10. And I give this one like an 8.5.
Definitely 8.5.
This is a good one.
That's good. It's good. Good ranking. And then last thing,
why does Insomniac have like little Skeets looking dudes?
That was another thing I want to bring up. He has Skeets.
He's got
like three Skeets.
Two or three Skeets that like can take down fucking helicopters and shit. I guess he has like a lot of technology, so it makes sense if he had something helping him out.
So he's Booster Gold and Batman here, but they look exactly like Skeets.
They do.
Which is an issue. And it's like gold too.
It is so close.
You could have made him like silver at least.
Or like a different shape.
Yeah.
Make him look like eyeballs or something, falling asleep.
And I think my favorite page in this book is page 50 with this. I just love it for some reason. Like Why? The way the angle for like Brain Tease like looks really good.
He's like kind of getting in your face and he just gets his shit rocked.
Yeah. And then like there's like a close up on his face and then you see like the side angle.
There is like a really good like sense of direction for the eye.
Yeah.
Because when he gets punched, it leads you into the next panel too.
Right.
So I think that they have a really good sense of like how to lead the reader's eye.
Yeah.
It's hard to do sometimes.
Yeah, I just like that a lot. All right. Continue with issue 3.
Okay, issue 3. So yeah, she's getting operated on. There's a really cool splash page that kind of makes me uncomfortable a little bit.
But oh, it's yeah,
like,
definitely.
It's like the lettering of different parts of her anatomy.
Yeah.
And I tried to read some of them. Some of them are kind of hard to read, but I don't think that's where the heart is.
See, pulse, thread.
Is the heart right there? I'm not a doctor.
I think it's is more
in your sternum.
I thought it was more to the left.
I thought it was like under your left boob.
Yeah, that's why I feel it the most.
Okay, but like
thoracotomy
on her legs. It says like femoral cartoid or like pulse is good kind of thing. Like it just kind of shows like what she sees when she's just like when she's trying to operate on people, figure out where the problem is. I think that's a good page.
Yeah, it's creepy.
So after Frankie's back up, they come up with a plan to go to the Thread King, who's the dude that makes costumes for Stickman, to see what he knows. But when they confront him, they are interrupted by the superhero, the Searcher. So they have to make a quick escape. And then they run through this random part of the city that is stuck in like a weird time dimensional bubble anomaly thing. And so they just like run through that to get away. It's kind of like when in SpongeBob, they have to get away from the fucking Davy Jones and they run through the perfume shop. This is what this felt like to me. They're like, this just happened to be here out of nowhere. Yeah. And they're just like running through because like they call it like a time anomaly, but they definitely look like they are just jumping through different dimensions.
Yeah, there's like just a bunch of like portals that are like fucking up this specific street.
Yeah. And they
isn't
like
this like the perfume alley too or something like that?
What?
Or no, this is where the flower there's flowers.
Yeah. And then my favorite one is like the actual like comic book page. It's like pencils.
Yeah.
That's like a different universe. That's like that. I like that a lot. But that was just like a random like Scooby-Doo feeling fucking sequence. But I thought it was fun.
Yeah. It took up a lot of pages.
Yeah, it does.
But like, I like it.
Like, I thought one of them was just like the cover for the next issue. But then I realized it like had panels. So. So they find out that the Stick Man is hiding out in a paper mill. But when they get there, they discover it was an ambush that was set up because the Stick Man hired a mole to be inside of this villain group that Frankie put together. And now they're surrounded.
There's like a backup or like a origin story for Scalpel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, she like lost her degrees or something like that and started setting up these shops. She like stabbed a villain in the neck and then saved him to drum up business. Which just to cool. show that she could save people.
That is pretty like, fucking hard.
That the hustle's real, dude.
That is guerrilla marketing.
Yeah. And her dad was like a doctor, but he like never really made any money, but he just liked helping people.
Mm-hmm.
But he ended up being killed by a guy that wanted to use him. And then the guy that killed him ended up going into her practice and she just like saved him anyway, you know, for the bag.
Which is... You know, always hustling.
Yeah, always hustling, dude.
I like this Mr. Optics guy that she saves.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Oh, that's the villain, dude.
That's the guy that killed her dad.
Yeah, he's just cool looking in general.
He just looks like the possessed Venom.
Yeah, you're right.
But, like, it's cool.
But, like, the one big eyeball is very menacing. I think it's a cool sign. I feel like the only design I don't like in this book is the Stick Man, just because I don't like the idea of him very much. And like you can't really be that creative with a name like the Stick Man. So I don't really put this on Scott Hepburn.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's just like it's just a Stick Man, you know, across your body. It's like
there are some like variants that make him look kind of funny because like it's mostly dark and so you only see the white that's on his costume.
That looks better.
Yeah,
but it doesn't really fit Scott Hepburn's style too much. I feel like
I think it's supposed to be like the. Comparison to like the Joker, like what is the Joker? Like it's just like a clown guy. Yeah. So it's like there's not like much to that.
But he has a look. He's got a purple suit.
This is his green. Look. Looks like a Stick Man.
Yeah. I just don't like it very much. Also, having your secret villain hideout be like the paper mill because you occasionally put sticky notes on things is a little bit funny. Like the Joker has
didn't even think about that.
The Joker has like an abandoned amusement park, which is like scary and cool, but he's just like, I don't know, a paper mill. I think that's silly. So issue 4, final issue.
Could have been like an abandoned art museum, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Like maybe like abandoned factory in general. You don't even have to say what it is, but paper mill.
Yeah.
It's like, so the Stick Man. This is issue 4. The Stick Man reveals his motivations of killing Kid Dusk was to return back to simpler times and wanted to cut out the sidekicks in the expanding rogues gallery that the Insomniac has gained. So to kill this villain squad, he placed bombs in their necks and straps them to C4 and uses another villain to teleport them into the Insomniac's Dream Cavern, which is not the Batcave. Don't call it the Batcave because it's not the Batcave, Daniel. It's the Dream Cavern.
That I was really trying to think really hard about what would be a better name for this.
You can't really.
Like of a sleeping base superhero, I guess.
Yeah.
We're not going to try, but like.
I mean, Batcave's not super creative either, but.
No.
It rolls off the tongue, I guess.
So the teleporter villain, his name is Sideswipe.
I fuck with that guy.
That is a Transformer. He's the one that's like normally like a Ferrari or something and he's got the wheels on and he like skates around.
Hmm.
He's really fucking cool. He's like the coolest one, like the third movie.
You know, I was thinking of Sideways, the random DC villain or the random DC hero that's supposed like streaming to be like their Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And he could like.
Created by Dan DiDio.
Yeah. That
the
one.
The editor.
The editor. And so.
I remember reading that and I was like.
The first issue is kind of cool.
It's like you're reading the comic through a phone because like there's a lot of phone shots, which I just hate for some reason.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, because he's like streaming the whole time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I feel like it's not really bringing things back to simpler times if you like kill his whole Batcave, you know, because like what does that accomplish for him?
Oh, yeah. What was he trying to do?
I don't know like what the goal there was. Maybe he doesn't like that he has a Batcave.
Also just like.
I don't think he's trying to kill like Insomniac himself.
Why are there mushrooms everywhere?
Mushrooms?
Yeah.
Because like
Those have melatonin in it or something?
What? Wait, where do you see mushrooms?
In the back? Oh, there are mushrooms everywhere. The dream cavern?
Yeah, that's a bit weird. Just
maybe he's like, got too many gadgets and like he doesn't want.
He just wants like the chase or whatever, like yeah, the old school.
Just
like old school down fight. The street, I guess.
Is that a good motivation?
No.
Okay.
Because there's also a thing that he says. So he said that when he was talking about Kid Dusk, there's a caption that says the whole child endangerment thing raised too many questions for him, so he kills him. Like, he's not worried about child endangerment because he killed the dude.
Yeah.
So it's like
he killed the child.
The motivation I can kind of see being like somebody crazy would want to do, like bring it back to old times. But I think they mainly do it because the mole is revealed to be Pigeon Pete, who's just an old guy. And he decided to work with the stick man off the promise that things would just go back to the glory days.
Because, like, he's probably more effective when there's less villains that are much stronger than the pigeon guy.
Exactly. So he kind of feels like he's in a rut.
Really, I think it just comes down to stick man, you know, being that Joker character to where mm-hmm. Joker just likes the back and forth with, like, Joker and Batman. They're in love, Nathan.
I think that's what they were trying to, like, hone into, like Heath Ledger kind of Joker where he doesn't want to kill Batman, but he likes fucking around with him.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe just the fact that there's...
You complete me.
There's like... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The fact that there's a Robin and more just villains gets in the way. And shit. Yeah, he's just...
He doesn't want to share.
He's jealous. He's clingy. Mm-hmm. So they start to like fight over who the mole could be. And it's a problem because the explosives can't be set off if they all kill each other. So Stickman tries to intervene and finds out that it was all a fake out. Distract Stickman into coming into the dream cavern, and he also doesn't notice that Playtime's little army men have disarmed the bombs in their necks. And I like the scene where the teleporting dude sideswipe, he gets cut in half by his own portal.
Yeah, that was cool.
I was like, ooh, I kind of liked his design and everything, his whole vibe. I enjoyed, and then he just tried got to killed. Take
hit that half of his body that was left and try and make another portal.
No, that was fun too. He's like, it's worth a shot, I guess. And then I think it's a little lame that they used like a random puffer fish in this bat cave to slow their heartbeats enough to play dead. I'm like, why does this guy have a heart? Why does he have a puffer fish? You know?
Yeah.
I just thought that was like a very specific thing. And I think that's why.
That's like a real thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's supposed to. Puffer fish is like super poisonous. You have to have like a very special license, I think, to even like serve it up as sushi.
Because
it could kill you.
I eat it.
So I wouldn't, dude. I wouldn't.
What a way to go.
Unless it was like $1,000. To where, like, I know that this person gets paid enough to do this.
I wouldn't pay $1,000 for sushi, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. So I would just never
eat
it.
It's probably just fine.
Yeah. But the mole is Pigeon Pete, and then the stick man starts beating everyone up with a hammer and is about to kill Frankie or Playtime until Pigeon Pete now has a change of heart over the course of like two pages, and he slams stick man into the wall with the Insomniac Mobile or whatever he calls it.
Do they say what it is?
No. But he's got a cool car, and it's got like a big jet engine thing on the back. I don't know. And then Frankie just kills him with the hammer. And my questions are, why the change of heart so fast? Also, why is Stickman's signature weapon a hammer? That seems like a little bit weird.
Yeah, it should be like a stick, probably. Should,
like a or like my, when I was trying to think of what would be better, I was thinking like the general shape for like when you play Hangman or something, because you draw Stickman. When you play Hangman.
Yeah.
So maybe like something that's like in the shape of like the thing that you hang him on.
Well, Insomniac's got like a spear thing that kind of looks like a question mark almost.
Yeah, which is why that confuses me. Yeah.
But
yeah, he just got a hammer. I guess they just wanted to give him something. And
maybe I think Pigeon Pete had like a change of heart just because like Frankie was pretty upset by it. And I don't think he was like expecting that kind of reaction. And then he realized what he did.
I think that he didn't have to live with the opinions of the people that he was like going to have blow up.
Right.
Because they were supposed to just blow up.
You ever like do something wrong and you didn't realize like how big the reaction would be until after the fact?
No.
Like, ooh, I didn't think you were going to have this reaction. You know?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know?
But I think if I was trying to kill somebody... I wouldn't be surprised by the reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
But Frankie's also, like, Playtime's also like, you taught me the code or whatever. And, like, you know, you're not following it, you big bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So right after this Insomniac shows up, and he's pissed that Playtime took away the chance to kill the stick man himself. So Frankie is like starting to fight Insomniac a little bit. Then Snake Stalker shows up. He breaks Insomniac's arm, but then Insomniac breaks Snake Stalker's neck. So he's dead now.
With one arm.
With one arm. I don't know how he does that, but he seems like a pretty big guy, so I think it'd be hard.
Mm-hmm.
But Frankie's barely able to find an old weapon that her mom used, which is the jack-in-the-box punching gun, and takes off Insomniac's head.
Real quick. So on the face of the jack-in-the-box gun, it has like a TQ?
Yeah.
What is that?
Let me find out what her name was, because it was like in the first issue, and then they never bring it up again.
You think it was like the...
Her name's Toy Queen.
Toy Queen.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. I was like,
we're trying to like figure out what that means.
Like, wait a fucking minute. Okay, okay, that makes sense.
And
I'm like, is this product placement?
That would be funny. And so, yeah, Insomniac's dead now. And so to wrap up, Frankie and
you kind of went over this a little bit. The Jack in the Box gun just shoots out a big like boxing glove.
It
thing.
It does take the fuck off of his head,
and it punches off his fucking head.
Yeah, like it's Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, and I kind of thought this guy was like, you know, not like Superman, but a little bit stronger than normal people.
I didn't get that impression.
I don't know. But
I mean, he's really good at fighting for sure.
I didn't actually think he was like Batman-esque.
Yeah.
But yeah, his head flies off from this thing.
Yep.
And so the news and like the continuum spin the whole situation as if like the Insomniac wasn't this like genocidal murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know...
And then Playtime is like, you guys got to stay out of this town, though. It's called like Redborn or something.
Yeah, it's like a neighborhood or something.
Yeah. And so she also exiles Pigeon Pete from returning to the town. She doesn't kill him, but she's like, can't come back. You'll never have the glory days or whatever.
Sets his mask on fire.
Yeah. And just then
really give it to him, you know,
like he couldn't just get another one.
Yeah.
And then she returns like the punching gun to her mom, and she can see her kid again now for some reason, even though she's more of a villain than she was before,
who also has like the powers that she has.
Yeah,
because she makes like this homicidal unicorn thing in class.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if that was like something her mom gave her as like a gift and it just turned into a thing, or if she has it, but I think she has.
She's like, guess what, I made my own pony today, mommy. Oh, okay. Like, and just like you. And then it's like angry, like
terrorizing kids.
Yeah.
And then so, yeah, she's got a good relationship with her kid now, I guess. And she's now the new mob boss of the town as Playtime. And she kills fucking U.S. Eagle.
Yeah, she's like, I need you to send a message. She's like, and he's like, all right, what's the message? And he's like,
you are.
Which is...
That's a good line.
Good line.
Good line.
But I don't want U.S. Eagle to die. Want
him, maybe don't kill him. Maybe break his arm and then
like,
he's...
Like, ah. Yeah. And then it doesn't say the end, it says never the end.
Yeah,
because it's a Dark Horse book,
and
there's gonna be sequels,
and if it works out there will be sequels.
Yeah. So
Back Matter matters.
Yeah, Back Matter matters, dude.
Banger covers,
only banger variants.
He's
here.
Got Patton Oswalt's got the money to get Mike Mignola.
He's got the money connections.
He's got the money to get Christian Ward.
Woo!
Francesco Francavilla. He's got good taste.
Money.
Yeah. Some of my favorites right now. But this Mike Mignola one, I feel like he pulls off Stickman.
Yeah.
Because of just like that weird funky style.
I don't think I know Kevin Maguire, but he's got a killer cover.
You know
cover.
Kevin Maguire. He's the guy that does the Justice League International cover of like all of the people looking up.
That was Kevin Maguire?
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah.
That's dope.
And he's done some other stuff.
And then Tess Fowler.
Why do I know her?
I don't know.
Hold on, I'm going to look it up. I think she's like a Vertigo person. I think it just... Yeah, I think she's the Rat Queens person.
Okay.
Maybe? I don't know. She's good, though. I like that cover. And then we get some...
Sketches.
Some character sketches.
Character designs.
Which is always fun. I always love looking at these. Because like everybody has their own distinct style, too. Which I think is impressive. And we even see like some of the characters that we only see for like two panels, like U.S. Eagle. It's the only reason I know his name.
Or Gentleman Game Warden.
Or Prince Killpig. The guy that got suplexed. So, super fun.
Insomniac almost had a cowboy hat?
That wouldn't have been as cool.
Or is that his, like, maybe that's his like collar pops too much.
Oh, yeah. That's his collar.
He knew what USC was going to look like from the start.
He colored that one. He liked it so much. So.
He's like, this is fucking dope.
So super cool. And then he's got quotes from people that are a huge flex on the back of this book. So he's got Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
He's got Judd Apatow, because people trust his opinion on comics, I guess. And then Edgar Wright, which is cool. And he had Neil Gaiman on the front. Right. So he had all of his connections come in for this, which is cool.
Yeah.
So what did you think of this overall, Daniel?
I thought it was pretty good. I had a good time with it. It wasn't slow or anything. There's some good ideas. What do you rate it?
I would rate it, for some reason in my head, it's like a rolled ice cream.
Okay.
You know those? It's just like a different way to consume ice cream, but it's all just like superhero comics, you know? And like sometimes it's nice to go get something that's not like Cold Stone. And I'm just more interested in like the process of creating the rolled ice cream, or like I'm more interested in that than I am with just like regular ice cream. So
yeah,
I would give it like a rolled ice cream with like a bunch of rolls in it and something that I really like.
Okay. Okay.
What would you rate this book?
I give this a love it. And I am choosing the signature creation from Cold Stone called the Banana Caramel Crunch.
Not a banger?
It doesn't look like it.
Okay.
So it looks like it would be good and I would enjoy it. I don't think it'd be like what I would...
You don't continue to get it?
I wouldn't get it again. And I don't know if I would get things in it in a future creation. You know, I'd definitely go towards other things, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe just things that are more towards my taste, but... I did like enjoy it, and it is like good stuff.
Nice.
So
I think that works.
That's how I feel.
All righty. So good stuff. Let's get into our next segment, the pull list, colon.
Show it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Bit of a light week for me.
Yeah.
I got Helena Windhorn, number 2. I'm going to give that a shot. If I don't like it, I'm not picking it up.
Okay.
I did like the first one, but God, he's a yapper. That Tom King.
Got a mouth on him.
So he sure does, dude. So we'll see.
Got some fingers on him.
He's got 10 of them, and it shows.
Yeah.
Batman Dark Age, number 2, comes out.
Yep.
Which I was surprised by. I thought it was going to be like more delayed, like Superman Space Age, but I was delighted to see that. And then Man's Best, number 2, from Jesse Lonergan in Porn Sack Bichet Soap.
Are you going to get Spectrograph, number 1?
No.
Do you know what that is?
Yes.
The James Tynion Christian Ward distillery thing?
I did see that, and I forgot what it was, so I didn't pick it up.
Didn't flip through it or anything? I think it's like a haunted house.
I had limited time, so I was just like, yep, and then I left.
Okay.
Yeah, have you seen that meme where like a guy goes in like a candle store, and he like sniffs the first thing he sees, and he's like, yep. And he like walks out. That's what I did.
Does he buy it?
Yeah, he goes to buy it. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's like normally if you're in a candle store, you're like fucking around smelling everything. Or at least Sophie does, because she wants to find the best smells or whatever. But I like
with like dude candles, there's definitely like a limited amount. You know?
And they know. They know that we don't want to smell a bunch of shit. So they give us like 4 and it's like black steel or something.
Yeah, teak wood or whatever.
Whiskey wood.
Whiskey barrel. Yeah. Just the barrel.
Just smells like wood.
Yeah.
And so I just like that meme.
Fucking aluminum.
Anytime I see it, I send it to her, just like, yep. And he goes to buy it. I love it.
And like you have an idea of like kind of what you want.
I just want something that smells good, you know?
Yeah.
I've been burning a lot of your wife's candles that she gave us. So
yeah, mine nice. Too. We're doing Ocean Breeze today.
Ooh, I could smell it.
It's a good one.
And So that's all I picked up.
I'm getting Rare Flavors number 5. Can't wait to start that. And
I forget what that even is.
It's a supernatural book about Indian food.
Oh yeah.
By
you read the first issue?
By Ram B and Philip Andrade. I have not read the first issue.
Oh, okay.
I have it though. The Creatures from the Black Lagoon number 1 comes out. I'll give that a shot. I don't care. That. I think I love the way the Creature from the Black Lagoon looks and like the idea of it, but I don't know if I'll ever like anything that has to do with it.
I don't even know anything about it, but I agree.
It's all in the name.
It looks cool.
It's self-explanatory.
Yeah. And just like the lettering of like the title.
Yeah, know? It's cool.
It's like, wow, look at that. Spooky.
So like,
I like just the aesthetic. Yeah.
I think, what was that? The Shape of Water is just a Black Lagoon movie, you know?
I haven't seen the movie, but really? I know what you're talking about.
Good movie. And so it's like, I don't know if there's like a way to top that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there'll be like a modern version, but anyway, that's what I'm getting.
Nice.
And then the shit that you said.
Yep.
Did you read anything, Nathan?
I did not.
Sweet.
I had a very busy week.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
I don't give a shit.
That's fine. Yeah. Who asked?
Try harder.
Yeah, exactly.
I read James Bond 007 number 1 by Garth Ennis.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And another guy.
How's that?
Giant.
Yeah.
Not getting to.
I feel like James Bond comics sound like such a good idea, but I've never read like a banger.
I think Warren Ellis has a banger one.
I read some of his.
Really? Not a banger?
Not bangerish to me.
You know what? I don't even like the movies that much. They're cool.
I don't either.
So maybe it's just not for me.
I don't think I like him. I don't like the dude.
Probably good piece of advice. Don't read the comic that's based off a movie that you kind of like, you know?
I think that's
not going to get better.
I mean,
it's derivative of itself.
I like Godzilla comics. I didn't really like Godzilla that much. Yeah. Until fucking everything became Godzilla.
Yeah. I like the movies, like the comics, all good things.
No, I think when I first started like reading Godzilla comics, I was like, this shit's good.
Yeah.
But like before that, my experience of Godzilla was like the Bryan Cranston one. And I was like, that's pretty good, you know? So I don't know.
And I read Dawn Runner number 1.
Nice.
That shit's incredible.
Yeah.
The way, like the art in it.
Insane.
Is
I've been
unreal.
Saying Evan Cagle goes fucking crazy. He knows how to draw big shit.
Big shit. His like, I don't know how he makes like his like settings so like perfect. I'm sure it's more like a computer thing, but like,
yeah,
not like AI, but like it's something he's able to like kind of copy and paste or something. Cause the lines are just like insanely straight.
They're so cool,
but they're crazy.
The people are crazy. He like makes things look bigger than what should fit on like the page.
Yeah,
and
like, how do you fit this monster in here?
Like, it feels like he zoomed out and then like drew something or something and then like made it back into like regular size. And I'm like, this is so big. Like, I turned the page and I'm like, holy shit.
The big robo design, really sick.
Very cool.
Kaiju design, super sick. Like, mm-hmm. Very original looking. It's like unlike something I've seen before.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, big fan. It's just...
The world building's
Pacific
a little...
Pacific Rim, yeah. But like, I'm into it.
Yeah. I think the world building... was like a little bit hard to follow, if just from what I can remember. But
it's not that important.
It's
not.
Think. Yeah. What was the big monster? What did the big monster look like? It's like a big worm thing, right?
No, it was like looked like a dinosaur almost.
Dinosaur thing? Okay, yeah.
It had like a weird mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't describe it. It's like it's very weird.
When does the second one come out? Has it come out yet?
Today.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh fuck! I missed.
That's
it.
Why I read it today.
Ah shit! I gotta go back.
Yeah. And then, Nathan, I read the first volume of Akira. Do you know what Akira is?
It's the lady with the motorcycle.
It's a dude.
It is?
Yeah.
This whole time?
I think you're thinking of Alita, Battle Angel.
Ooh. No, I'm thinking of Akira, the red motorcycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a girl.
And she slides, Daniel. It's not a girl. I'm looking it up. Akita?
Akira.
Akira.
There's like a girl in it. You know,
the girl rides the motorcycle, Daniel. You don't know what you're talking about,
dude. I read the whole thing, the first volume.
I just looked up Akira Toriyama. That's not the one I need. Akira Mong.
No, that's the Dragon Ball Z guy.
Yeah, yeah. It is a dude.
Do you want to look at it? I got it somewhere.
Whoa! I thought it was a girl this whole time.
But anyway, Nathan,
I can't be the only one who thought that.
So this one, this is like a classic. You know, like this manga was coming out in like 82,
mm-hmm.
Then the movie came out in like 88,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm like, I got it because I didn't have too much 1 week, and so I got that, and I was reading. I'm like, this is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I like this. It's cool ideas. It doesn't seem like it was. You know how you like go back to like old stuff, and it's like, oh, this is important because it inspired a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like it could have came out today and still done pretty well.
That's,
you know,
big praise.
Yeah. The settings are like incredible. It's just like Tokyo or whatever, but mm-hmm. like just like the designs of stuff. It's set in the future, Nathan.
Yeah.
The future, the 21st century.
I feel like these future designs hold up today.
Yeah. They look great. You want to flip through it?
Sure. Holy shit, that's a big, that's huge.
That's the first one.
What the fuck?
Nathan, what's special about this one is that they flipped the artwork. And so it reads left regular? To right. Yeah.
Oh, it's a comic.
Yeah. It's a Japanese comic is what you're telling me.
Cool.
Yeah, so even you would like it. So, yeah, dude, I was like just started reading that because I was exporting, yeah. You know, and I read like 200 pages like the first night.
Wow.
Yeah, it reads super fucking well.
Wow, those are very, dude, people are.
Isn't it great?
They're on that shit over there.
So I finished it and I'm like, that was pretty good. I should probably read like the next one or whatever. And then like the next day, I couldn't fucking stop thinking about it. You know, just like different panels, different moments and stuff like that. And I was just like, I need to finish it, you know? And so I bought like the next two volumes because there was a sale on Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking can't wait till they get here.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's just like it's a very like specific kind of hype that I get.
Yeah.
Like I have like a heart drop that happens like when I think about like, oh, it's going to get here on like Friday or whatever. Aww. You know, I'm like,
oh, very cute.
Yeah, dude, I'm stoked. We'll have to read that someday.
Yeah.
This is
thick.
That is Chip Zdarsky's favorite manga, Nathan.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
They reviewed like 5 volumes of it on Mangasplaining.
Very cool.
So on top of reading it, I get to hear other people talk about it.
That's awesome.
So I won't be alone.
What a nice experience.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're that for somebody.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
There's like a box set. That for Akira, it looked really cool. It was like $125. I'm like,
it's not that many.
Yeah.
We could do that. We could swing it.
Yeah. I almost did it, but I didn't.
That's funny.
So, yeah.
Good stuff.
You watch anything?
I just watched more Fallout and Game of Thrones.
I watched the first episode of that.
How'd you think?
Looks cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the idea mm-hmm. and stuff. I was kind of just waiting for like the ghoul the whole time. Yeah. I wanted to see him.
No, he's more in like the rest of the show a lot. So
yeah,
but he's very cool. I am halfway through now. There's only 8 episodes, and there's a very ghoul heavy episode in episode 4.
Yeah, but it's fucking long. That the first episode.
Yeah, that one's pretty long,
and they barely get shorter. You know, as they go on.
Yeah, they're like an hour.
Yeah. I don't know. The first one, I'm like, God, is this a movie? Sarah's like, is this a movie? I'm like, no. She's yeah. like, are you sure it's not a movie? I'm
it
like,
does, I'm it does sure. have the structure of a movie for sure. Cause it's like there's like a whole thing. And then it like switched perspectives to that one dude who's like in the Marines or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, we're going to learn about this guy now.
Yeah.
But I think it's great. It's awesome.
Cool. Cool. I watched like a couple episodes of Scavenger's Reign.
Great.
You know, there's not much of a plot.
No, that's what I love about it.
Yeah, it's great to look at.
It's,
you know,
it's awesome to look at.
It's mostly just that, and you're like, wow, that's weird.
Yeah, dude. I like to look at the weird shit.
I'm you like, don't have to like listen to what they're saying. You know,
yeah,
you can get the gist villains, of it.
Do you know who the villain is?
I don't think I got to a villain.
Okay.
It's just like they're fighting their
the planet,
the surroundings, and
man
these
versus
and
wild.
These weird like robot things.
Yeah. Oh, dude, there's a part you have to watch like 2 more episodes, I think.
I'll finish it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you should. But I think it's great. I mean, I know there's not much of a like plot. There's more that kind of unravels as you go, but there's a lot of really interesting things that they do with it, I feel like. So it just feels like a darker sci-fi, like Studio Ghibli type feel, where they just like really focus on just environment, and yeah. I like that a lot.
Like I love it. Like
yeah,
because it's like
it's really cool.
It's like different. It's like pushing it like sci-fi to mm-hmm. like a very weird area.
Yeah,
and very kind of like scary.
I follow one of the designers for the show on Twitter, and he just posts like monster designs all the time, and it's very cool.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but he's cool.
And I also watched Unicorn Warriors Eternal.
Okay.
That is the newest Jenny Tartakovsky show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't know he was coming out with one. What's it called?
Yes, you did, because I brought it up on news like a year ago, and this show came out last year.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's really cool. It's
have
like,
you seen Primal?
No, I almost started watching that, but I decided to watch this instead.
Okay.
I like scrolled over Primal and then went to
I haven't seen Primal yet, but yeah.
Yeah, so it's it's really funny because it doesn't really look like a Jenny Tartakovsky thing. Mm-hmm. Like the people are drawn kind of like Betty Boop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And wait, it's like, what is it called again?
Unicorn Warriors Eternal.
Okay.
And it's like Betty Boop style art in like a steampunk world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's like these like supernatural spirits that are like reincarnated mm-hmm. like every once in a while to like fight evil.
Yep.
And there's this like robot dude. His name is Copernicus.
He's a big dude.
This guy.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. He's fucking awesome. I like the way he like his shine is like colored.
Mm-hmm. Is this on Max?
This is on Max.
Okay. I'm definitely gonna check this out.
And so Copernicus, he chooses like the hosts. You know, that he just kind of, he stays around forever.
Okay.
And then he just like shoots like this thing and chooses like people to reincarnate these like spirits or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Copernicus is like this robot guy who just has like infinite gadgets, you know, like every, he doesn't like always save the day, but every time I'm like, oh, how are they going to get out of this? He just kind of has a thing to fix it.
That's funny. Kind of neat. Just like take it out of his big tummy or something.
Yeah, or like his neck or something. Yeah,
cool.
It's pretty neat. I think it's fun. I'm like halfway through it.
I've just found this like meme of people editing out characters, but they put on the Unicorn Warriors Eternal thing, and they changed that robot dude into the guy from Robots, the big fella or whatever.
Oh man,
what was that guy? I can't remember.
It's like Big O or something like that.
Dude, I just watched that movie the other day.
Robots? Yeah. Why?
I watched it like two months ago.
Good movie, but why?
Big Weld.
Big Weld.
Mel Brooks. I didn't know that.
Who plays the red guy?
Who plays the red guy?
Yeah.
Robin Williams.
Ah, oh, fuck. I knew it was someone important.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Paula Abdul's in that?
Is she like the sexy one?
No. No, that's Lucille Bliss.
Hmm.
That's like Ewan McGregor. Shit's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm going to check out that unicorn one.
Yeah, definitely. And after that, we'll watch Primal, you know, because there's not really shows coming out at the moment.
No.
Until something does come
out. I want to watch Smiling Friends season 2. Did you ever watch that show?
I watched the first episode of that.
It's fucked up, right?
That shit's fucked up.
It's so funny, though. Dude, there are some.
I was waiting for
you
something.
Watch the cocaine one?
No, it's the one where there's like shit in the walls and they're trying to get that guy not to kill himself.
Oh, yeah. Watch the shrimp episode.
I'll watch all of it.
You should. It's so funny.
But dude, it was just something I didn't want to watch with like Sarah in the room.
Yeah, no, I don't think she would like it. But there's
this shit, like, it is so true to like Adult Swim humor.
Yeah,
dude. You know, which I thought was kind of lost a little bit, but. No, yeah, it's right back to it.
It nails it. There's like a clip I saw from season 2, which just came out, and it's about the little pink guy, and he's telling a story to his friend. And in that like story, he like in the flashback, he was like talking about something to his father, and at the end they like kiss, and then there's like a little bit more to the flashback. And then when it goes out of the flashback, the kid was like,
Did you
kiss your dad on the mouth? And I thought that was so funny.
I like that the little guy has like a New Zealand accent.
Yeah,
and
it's hilarious.
I was watching because I saw that trailer for season 2. I'm like, that looks cool.
Yeah,
and you know, and I like the aesthetic of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one clip from the first episode where it's like, it looked like a guy was like mo-capped or something. It's mm-hmm. not like the rest of the artwork. He's like,
yeah,
what are you even doing here? You're so old. Like, where's your kids and family, dude? Just get out of here. And I was like,
Wait, was the one with the dude in the wall where like the red guy shows up and he was like covering whatever he's looking at on the computer?
Yeah.
And he's like, did you see this guy? And he's like, I don't know. Maybe you should knock next time. He's like, you're in our walls.
You shouldn't be here.
Yeah. That's hilarious. So, I don't know. Get out of here.
I love that. Like, the animation's like so bad.
It is.
You know,
it's not good.
But like, it gets the point across.
It's so charming.
Yeah.
I fuck with that show.
Anyway, Nathan, what are we gonna be next week?
What are we gonna read next week?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what we're gonna read.
What are we gonna read?
We're gonna read a Planet of the Apes book.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, dude.
Are we going to read the Planet of the Apes Green Lantern one?
Absolutely.
Let's go.
If you're down, dude.
I'm down.
That's fucking go, dude.
I think I read the first issue of this. Hold on. So this is because War of the Dawn of the Planet of the... What was it called?
Kingdom of the War of the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
No, it's not. I believed you for a second, which is a problem. No, wait.
I think it's just Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
New Apes movie. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. I think that movie isn't really connected to the other ones other than the fact that the apes were talking. Like, I think
this new one?
Yeah, if I wanted to watch it, I could go watch it without seeing two or three.
I think you can, yeah.
So that, because I don't think Caesar's in it or anything.
No, I don't think so. So maybe Descendants, but it's far enough to where it doesn't really matter.
Because it's not Matt Reeves directing it or anything.
No.
So I actually might go see this. I don't know. To complete the monkey trilogy, Nathan.
That would be
the Hot Monkey Spring.
Yeah. Wes Ball is the director. I don't know what he does, but
good name.
So we're doing Planet of the Apes / Green Lantern.
Hell yeah. It's not versus?
I think it's just /
Boo.
It could be versus.
I want to fucking fight.
They'll probably fight. Yeah. I don't know why this book exists. So,
but I'm excited. Glad it does. Dude.
I'm excited to read it. I think I have these. So I just never read it.
Oh, it's on Comixology.
Let's go. So yeah, I'm very excited to read that.
Hell yeah, dude!
Because we're big Apes fans over here.
I might be, dude. What if Planet of the Apes comics kind of fuck?
I think the movies fuck a lot, all of them. So
should I watch one?
You've never seen any of them?
I've seen the first one.
The second one's cool too. I think I saw that one.
You think you saw that one?
I think I saw that one.
What happened in it?
There's apes and they take over the Golden Gate Bridge. Or did that happen in the first one?
You know what? I don't remember anything.
God,
except
I want to say I've seen
except
the second
Caesar
one.
Says no.
He says at the end of the first one, yeah.
Yeah, he says no to James Franco.
Yeah, no, I think I have seen the second one because Caesar talks a little bit more.
Okay.
And the monkeys start to learn how to talk a little bit
more.
I
saw a clip and it had Woody Harrelson talking about a theory of war to Caesar or something.
That's sick.
In an interrogation. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
It's awesome. It's cinema, Daniel.
Yeah, I know. I think that's the third one.
Yeah.
I might fuck around and watch him. I don't care.
Yeah, do it.
All right, cool. Planet of the Apes / Green Lantern next week.
Let's go. Green Lantern book. You've never been excited for a Green Lantern book.
Yeah, this is the only exception.
All right. Fuck yeah.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Check out the old Linktree.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the stuff, the socials.
Yep.
Like, comment, subscribe. 5 stars once again, like we said.
Send us an email or a tweet about what your favorite Planet of the Apes thing is.
Yeah.
Or comic. Do the comics fuck? Let me know. I don't know.
Yeah, let us know if the comics fuck.
Yeah. If they fuck in the comics and if they fuck in general.
Oh, traverspot@gmail.com.
And that's it.
All right. Adios.
Bye.